Hey there, Rick Singeri of Vermont Edition. Just want you to know this podcast has been edited for brevity. Thanks for listening.
This is Vermont Edition. I'm Jane Lindholm. In his budget address at the beginning of this year, Governor Phil Scott said he's committed to getting more electric vehicles on Vermont's roads.
Transitioning to electric vehicles can save millions of dollars. Think of it this way. In 2015, approximately $830 million was spent on gasoline sales in Vermont. If this travel had all been powered by electricity, the cost would have been significantly less, saving drivers about $500 million. Plus, our comprehensive energy plan recognizes more electric vehicles are essential to meeting our climate and energy goals.
In fact, the state's plan is pushing for 50,000 electric vehicles, cars, and trucks on Vermont's roads by 2025. That would be about 10% of all the vehicles in the state, and the goal climbs to 25% a few years later. But first, we've got a long way to go to meet even that initial goal. We only have about 3,000 electric vehicles in the state today. That is, though, a significant increase over a couple of years ago. So as the technology improves, the cost comes down, and more used EVs come on the marketplace, the percentage is growing. And if you have questions about electric vehicle technology, financial incentives, and state plans, you've come to the right place. We're going to talk about all of that today, and we're joined by Dave Roberts, coordinator of Drive Electric Vermont. That's a coalition made up of lots of different nonprofits, companies, and state agencies that are interested in promoting electric vehicle purchases and better infrastructure in the state. Dave, it's a pleasure to have you with us.
Thanks for having me on, Jane. It's great to be here.
And we're also joined in Montpelier by Michelle Boomhauer, Director of Policy, Planning, and Intermodal Development for the Vermont Agency of Transportation. Michelle, nice to have you on the program.
Thanks, Jane. It's great to join you and Dave in this conversation.
Dave, can you put that 3,000 number in context? Because as I mentioned, it's a far cry from 50,000, which is what the state aims to have on the road in a couple of years. But it's also a lot better than we were doing 4 years ago. So, you know, is this one of those exponential, it's going to be easy to get to 50,000 kind of deals, or is this going to be like eking across the finish line if we can even get there?
No question that it's going to be a big lift to get us to 50,000 by 2025. It's about 6 years away, and starting at 3,000, we have our work cut out for us. But the good news is that we are seeing significant growth. Recently, we've been getting about 30% annual growth in Vermont every year. We're seeing many new models hitting the market that have more range or lower cost or combination of both. So we're seeing definitely interest is up and people are buying them and enjoying them. But we do need to find ways to accelerate where we're going.
No pun intended, I suppose. Did I see somewhere a statistic that something like 6% of all new vehicle sales in the state are electric or hybrid electric vehicles now?
It's about 5% are plug-in electric vehicles, so either a plug-in hybrid that can run on gasoline or battery, or the all-electric vehicles. And that's as a percentage of passenger cars. So we do the percentage goes down a little bit if you factor in the popularity of trucks in Vermont.
Many of us have never purchased a new car, and I don't see that in our near future either. So are we starting to see any electric vehicles come into the used car market? Because that's where, you know, we're going to get that population that is not looking for even a $30,000 car, let alone a Tesla.
Sure, yes. We are seeing more used vehicles. It's about 15% of the newly registered EVs as of the most recent data that we have. A lot of these vehicles are coming in off leases, so EV owners are leasing for 2 or 3 years. It's a great way to get familiar with the technology, take advantage of the federal tax credit that's rolled into the leases, and then at the end of the lease, they become available in the used market, and they're usually fairly low mileage, in great condition, and have lots of life left in them.
Michelle Boomhauer, why do we want or need 50,000 vehicles, electric vehicles, on the road by, it's like 6 years from now?
Jane, that's a great question. And really the focus here is about the state's comprehensive energy plan, which was most recently published in 2016. And we know from the comprehensive energy plan that greenhouse gas emissions from the transportation sector are about 43% of all of our greenhouse gas emissions because we have such a clean power sector with getting a lot of our energy from hydro, wind, and other renewable sources. So we really need to focus on reducing emissions from the transportation sector. And it's not just an emissions reduction objective. There's really the household's cost savings focus that is going to hopefully accelerate the interest in obtaining EVs for the average Vermonter. You heard the governor talk in his legislative opening speech about this. And we know that with those household savings, we not only have localized savings, but we also have more of an economic viability within state. Right now, about 78% of the money spent on fossil fuels leaves Vermont, whereas investments that are made through purchasing electricity for our transportation sector would be money that would be recirculating in Vermont through our investments in our local utility companies. You know, additionally, in terms of this economic imperative, for the average consumer, you're looking at about $1,500 in annual maintenance savings from things that you don't have to do, like change the oil and filter in your car, change engine oil filters, spark plug replacements, that sort of thing. So there's sort of a whole host of savings that go from every time you fill up your vehicle all the way to your annual maintenance costs.
We got a note from EV Fan Vermont, who says, Massachusetts and New York offer rebates, which are an immediate price reduction, while Vermont hits EV buyers with additional registration fees to try and offset declining transportation revenues. Norway, a country rich in oil, is now seeing more than 50% of all new cars as EVs because there's no sales tax on EVs, and other incentives like reduced fees on ferries. I'd like to hear how the state of Vermont plans to increase the rate of adoption rather than just relying on local incentives from utilities like Green Mountain Power. And I would add also, we're going to hear from Vermont Electric Co-op in a little while, which also has an incentive program. But what about that, Michelle? I mean, why isn't the state offering more incentives than if this is what you want people to do?
So we actually are in a position now because of some unrestricted funds that came from a Volkswagen settlement where they had emissions fraud with their vehicles. And for those unrestricted funds, we proposed through the governor's budget this year to develop a $1.5 million EV incentive program. And that has been well received by the House and Senate. In fact, the Senate has added an additional $500,000 to that program for us to help folks that may want to get into a more efficient vehicle, or, and this would be low-income households, or have trouble getting the emissions equipment fixed on their vehicles and are not able to get their cars inspected. So, you know, we're sort of looking at emissions reductions and incentivizing consumers as a somewhat integrated proposal this year, the way it's been structured in the legislature. We've been very successful over the past 4 or 5 years in holding off the legislature who has wanted to put an extra fee for EVs on the registration, and we actually don't have that yet in Vermont. And last year, the legislature asked the Public Utility Commission to work with several agencies of state government to explore how we would fund the lost gas tax revenue that is not coming to the transportation fund to fix our roads and bridges and do our other maintenance activities required of, you know, every driver who uses their system. And the Public Utility Commission will be issuing a report later this summer that will help outline various approaches to collecting fees from drivers. And one of the ideas that's being examined is how do we transition to collecting a fee similar to the gas tax using a kilowatt hour basis, so we can charge for the electricity on a per kilowatt hour for filling up your vehicle. And what if we added a few cents per kilowatt hour to return funds to the transportation fund to pay for those road improvements?
But that's still all up in the air at the moment, trying to figure out exactly how to make this all work in the transition period.
Yeah, I think it's probably going to be next legislative session when we come out with a final transition plan. And, you know, it will likely be evolving over the next few years as the adoption of these vehicles increases. And other regional efforts are looked at. Certainly, other states in the region are looking at a vehicle miles traveled fee approach, whereby everybody would be charged for the number of miles they drive each year. That type of approach really only works well on a regionalized basis because we can only collect that type of fee from Vermonters. In one way to do it would be at the time you register your vehicle or inspect your vehicle each year, you would get a bill for your miles traveled. But we wouldn't be able to collect the fee on folks traveling to and through the state. And so unless it's regionalized, we would miss out on a fair amount of income that we currently collect through the gas tax when people fill up their car in-state.
Let's go to some of our calls. Earl's on the line with us from Barrie. Hey, Earl.
Hi. I just wanted to say that the electric vehicle that we've been driving for about a year and a half, what I really love is the low maintenance that your guest Michelle mentioned earlier. Not having oil changes is a wonderful thing. But I really also wanted to just also comment quickly that the idea of doing, I think, they tend to be fairly low mileage vehicles. So I think doing a miles traveled thing for electric vehicles and keeping a gas tax might be the most equitable sort of way of making sure that we pay for our road usage as well.
Earl, thanks for your comments and sharing your experience. Certainly that question of low mileage is one that is also involved in this question of how long can you go on one charge, what kind of charging technology is available in the places that you're planning to travel. And so that might influence which vehicle you take, for example, as a family if you're going on a road trip. Michael's calling in from Waterbury. Michael, you have some thoughts on charging as well, I understand.
Yeah, I'm a Tesla Model 3 owner, and I got a lot of questions about range. And I just want to say that the Tesla Supercharger network makes the long-distance travel really easy. For Thanksgiving, we drove to Columbus, Ohio, and we were able to drive from Columbus, Ohio to Waterbury, Vermont in one day due to the Tesla Supercharger network. The car shows you where and how long to charge, and that, combined with the Tesla self-driving technology in the car, made the trip really, really enjoyable. And we've never not traveled someplace with our Tesla due to range or not having charging infrastructure.
Michael, thanks for sharing your perspective as a Tesla owner. Dave Roberts, I'm curious about that because charging technology is one of the places where there's a lot of improvement and a lot of movement. And people are, I think, still really looking, too, for this ability to, to spend less than 20 minutes, maybe at some point to be able to charge your car in the time it would take you to fill it up with gas so that you're not sitting around trying to find a place and then sitting there for a few hours while it charges. So where do things stand now and how can people driving in Vermont at least know where even to charge their electric vehicles?
Sure. So most people charge at home overnight. That's the easiest way to do it. But when you are making a longer trip, you do need to find a place to plug in if you're driving an all-electric car. If you're driving a plug-in hybrid, you can just fill up with gas. And that's, for Vermonters, that's about two-thirds of the EVs are the plug-in hybrid variety. So if we're talking all-electric cars, though, like the Tesla really has this figured out. They've invested in their own dedicated network of fast chargers, and they're getting faster all the time. So they're almost at a point where you could just be there for 20 minutes or so and be on your way and have another 200 miles of range or so. For the other electric cars that are out there, it depends on the model and the charging infrastructure. There's a great our website, driveelectricvt.org, has information on where charging is. And there's also a site called plugshare.com, which is kind of like Yelp for charging stations. People can see where there's charging and what else is happening there and whether it's a fast charger that'll get you an 80% charge in about 30 minutes to an hour, depending on the vehicle. And the state has been investing some of the VW money that Michelle mentioned. Some of that is going into building out more charging infrastructure. They just closed the second round of a grant program administered by the Agency of Commerce and Community Development. And they've seen great interest in that program in that second round. I think they had 95 applications requesting $2.4 million worth of charging installations for the 400,000 that they have available. So they had their work cut out for them in figuring out which who's going to get funding through that program. But they have some money left in the pot, and it's just getting easier all the time as more charging comes in.
Well, we did get a note from Danek who says, is there any state program that would help pay for a charging station for a small town with heavy tourism traffic? So, Michelle, sounds like maybe?
Yes, there is actually. The program that Dave just mentioned is for municipalities and nonprofits, and a lot of them are partnering with private sector partners to make this happen. A lot of those applications are for level two chargers, which are more of a 4-hour dwell time. So they might be something where you put them where there's a lot of shopping or activity or movie theater, things that are going to be happening where somebody dwells a while. The fast charging network that we are working to build out in Vermont calls for a fast charger within 30 miles of every Vermonter. And we have quite a number of fast chargers already. However, there are about 7 more needed to meet that 30-mile range objective. And this really places fast chargers kind of everywhere in the state where somebody might likely be traveling through for either in-state travel or through-state travel. And we've asked the legislature for an additional $300,000 towards supporting that objective. And then it's likely that the next round of these VW charging station funds are going to be dedicated to making sure with the legislative funds we receive when they become available that we will be able to finish this fast charging network. Hopefully, a community benefits from this. But if not, I think there are probably going to be, continue to be ways for resources to become available, if not through the balance of the VW funds that are available, through other future efficiency, transportation efficiency resources that we hope to be able to advance either legislatively or through other networks. I know that in addition to the charging stations that we are working on for general public use, the Department of Buildings and General Services, which manages the state fleet, has also been identified as receiving funds through this year's legislative proposals to help establish charging stations in worksite locations for our state workforce. And those will likely be stations that could be available to visitors to those locations as well. So I think we're going to start seeing them more and more. We also have legislation that will enable the state to charge for charging. So, for instance, if you're visiting a state park and you're staying there for a period of time, there would be an EV charger at the state park to potentially help you with your travel needs. So it's really going to, you know, I think it's key to have the charging network available. That is going to build confidence in folks that they're not going to be somewhere and not be able to charge their car. And it's going to become ubiquitous as we go forward in the next couple of years.
Let's go to Bob in Rutland City. Bob, hey, you're on the air.
Yeah, thank you. I wanted to ask your guests in regard to the infrastructure, the electrical charging stations. Is the state taking into consideration that obviously most of our electricity is being provided from out of state, which provides, you know, a good deal of non-renewable, non-green sources, such as gas, oil, nuclear? And I was just wondering if the state's taking that into consideration.
Michelle, how would you answer that?
So what we are understanding from our utility partners is the large proportion of their available electricity is coming from renewable sources. Hydro-Québec, we now have a lot of utilities that are actually making renewable commitments to make sure that all of their energy are sourced renewably in a period of time to come. In addition to that, the utilities have a fair amount of resource available, of electricity resource available in off-peak hours. And off-peak is, you know, typically during the daytime, although that varies some depending on the season. And they want to be able to utilize that electricity that is not needed for other sources, because we've had a lot of efficiency gains in other sectors of our electric economy, so to speak. And this is a potential market for utilities to help cover their base costs by selling electricity for transportation that they have otherwise available and are not using. So I think it's actually quite a nice mix for the time that we're in, and will hopefully help hold electricity costs down or potentially lower them, depending on how quickly the market rises. And Dave may have other comments on that.
I'm Jane Lindholm, and this is Vermont Edition. Today, we're getting an update on electric vehicles in the state. We're talking with VTRAN's Director of Policy Planning and Intermodal Development, Michelle Boomhauer, and with Dave Roberts, Coordinator of Drive Electric Vermont, a coalition made up of lots of different nonprofits, companies, and state agencies that are interested in promoting electric vehicle purchases and better infrastructure in the state. We're talking about electric companies and the type of power that they use and where it comes from, but let's actually talk to an electric company. This weekend, Vermont Electric Cooperative is having its annual meeting, and it's having a special focus on electric vehicles. In fact, a lot of the electric utilities in the state are encouraging customers to buy EVs. And as I said earlier, it's easy to see why, when a big vehicle plugged into the grid every night could be a boon to the bottom line of the company. But they're also highlighting some of the ways they think this is good for consumers and good for the environment. On the line with us now is Andrea Cohen, Manager of Government Affairs and Member Relations for Vermont Electric Co-op. Andrea, nice to talk with you.
Hi.
What is the incentive you're offering to your customers who buy electric vehicles?
Well, Vermont Electric Cooperative has a variety of incentives. Since 2017, we've been encouraging the electrification of transportation. And some of the reasons you've been talking about, there's times when electricity is maybe more available or less expensive due to things like the great job the state's been doing on efficiency and local renewable energy. And so we're really interested in making sure we can bring clean, reliable, affordable electricity to help with the electrification of transportation. We surveyed our members 2 years ago when we found, even for a very rural utility, that 28% of our members reported that they're likely to be driving electric in some form in the next 5 years. So we are already able and willing to, you know, be a partner in that transition. And some of what we're providing right now are, you know, incentives, bulk credit incentives for the purchase of electric vehicles, and they could be new or used vehicles, leased or purchased, both the hybrid vehicles as well as the full electric. And for full electric, we're providing $500 bill credit. We also provide some support for the infrastructure development you've been discussing, public charging stations. We will support that development through a $500 per plug bill credit incentive. So municipalities who are applying for some of those grants that were being discussed about, we're partnering with them because we'd like to see that infrastructure get built out. Even though, as Dave and Michelle will tell you, most of the charging happens at home. But we want to make sure that opportunity is out there for people to charge on the road.
Let me stop you there, yeah. Andrea, and ask you a question from Deb, who wants to know, okay, how much does one's electric bill go up to charge the vehicle, and then maybe compare that to what you might pay for gas?
Yeah, I think it depends on where you are and when you're charging. Like at VEC, if you take advantage of the vehicle incentive, you can go on what we call a time of use rate for the whole home. So if you're charging at home during off-peak hours, it's much less expensive than during usual. That would be overnight or weekends or holidays. I have a plug-in vehicle. I plug it in at work. It costs me about $1.50 to fully charge my hybrid, and I get about 35 miles from that, which is much less expensive than buying gas at the pump.
You know, we got another question or a comment on this from BHA, who mentions charging away from home can be expensive. There's a charging station about 3 miles from my home. It charges about $2 an hour, minimum of 1 hour. 1 hour would give me about 12 miles on electric at a cost of about 16 cents a mile. And BHA says I can drive the car on gas at the current price of $2.89 for about 6 cents a mile. The cost of charging at home is about 4.5 cents a mile. So, Dave Roberts, I mean, that's a lot of numbers that makes it hard for me to figure out, like, wait a minute, what's the bottom line?
Well, generally speaking, the best way to do it is to charge at home. And if your utility is offering an off-peak rate, like Andrea mentioned, and Burlington Electric Department, for example, has a very low off-peak rate for EV charging, which really brings the cost down even lower than where we're at today, which is the equivalent of about $1.50 a gallon gasoline average across the state.
So, and then are you held hostage if you're on a trip to, you know, whatever the cost is at whatever charging station you can get to?
I wouldn't say held hostage. I mean, especially if you're driving a plug-in hybrid, which most folks in Vermont are, they do have that option to drive on gas as far as they need. And Tesla owners are charged a pretty reasonable fee for their supercharging. So it's really the all-electric cars that are not Teslas that we're talking about. And the fees can be significant. The state, I know, has an interest in keeping those costs down as part of the grant program. So anybody receiving funding through the state grant program needs to provide documentation of what their costs are going to be. And, you know, at this point, it is sort of a premium service. You do need, you know, there is some additional cost to pay for that convenience of charging away from home. We look forward to seeing those costs come down, but it's a significant investment on the part of the owner of that charging equipment to put that in. And at this point, you know, they're not getting a ton of use, so it just makes it hard for them to cover their costs unless they're charging a reasonable fee.
Andrea Cohen, for a company like or a utility like Vermont Electric Co-op, do you see this as a good way to find another, you know, another way to make money? Do you see it as a different kind of value? I mean, how do you sort of frame it? Because it is good for you if people are charging their cars.
You know, you'll see most of the utilities in the state are their sales have been flat or declining. Again, as we've been doing such a good job with energy efficiency and local renewable energy, and we have a lot of fixed costs for our system. We're a cooperative utility. We're a nonprofit, so all of our decisions are about, you know, how do we bring the best value to the member at the lowest cost. And to just keep the poles and wires going, you know, there's a lot of fixed costs there. So increasing sales through, you know, electric vehicle charging is certainly something that's a benefit to our co-op members. And, you know, again, it's not just about that. It's that plus it's clean, it's affordable, and it's safe and reliable energy. So we think we have a lot to add to help with this, and we see a lot of benefits as well.
That's Andrea Cohen, Manager of Government Affairs and Member Relations for Vermont Electric Co-op, which is having its annual meeting this weekend and highlighting electric cars. Andrea, I understand you'll actually have some electric vehicles there too, right, at JPEEC?
Yeah, we're really excited. We have Michelle and Dave on a panel, so if people want to hear even more, they're welcome to come, and as well as representatives from car manufacturers, rolling out some new vehicles that will be available for people to look at and check out, and we are really excited. Again, even as a rural territory, we're finding as more models are coming out, and as we're seeing, you know, greater range and greater you know, a lot of folks would love to drive electric, but they need an all-wheel drive, or they need a truck, or, you know, they're just waiting for the market to respond, and of course for the price to come down, you know, make it more affordable. So we're really excited about the future of transportation in our state, even in rural places where typically people might have different kinds of transportation needs.
Good. Well, Andrea, thanks for getting us to that point, and thanks for being on the show. And let's actually take a few more calls here. People are sharing their experiences and their questions. Phyllis is calling in from Montpelier. Go right ahead, Phyllis.
Hi. So I just drove about 165 miles this morning from Montpelier up to the Northeast Kingdom and back. And I wasn't sure how I was going to do today. I have a Chevrolet Bolt all-electric vehicle. I was delighted this morning getting up after charging overnight. I had 210 miles in my battery. So the reality of it was that I did not turn the heat on as I drove up north because using the heat takes up a lot of the battery. You lose battery quickly. And I'm really interested in what efforts will be made to develop level 3 charging stations. A lot of the infrastructure that's developed right now are level 2 charging stations. It takes an hour to charge 20 miles. So if you're driving a distance, it's totally impractical.
Yeah, Phyllis, thank you very much for your comment and for reinforcing that question about charging and the charging infrastructure being really crucial here for people to be able to feel like this is a technology that they can use both on long drives and for everyday use. Let's get another thought in here from John, also in Montpelier. Hey, John.
Hi there. I just want to share my experience as a new used EV owner. My family bought a used EV about a month ago, and it's an e-Golf, a VW e-Golf. It was as affordable as the equivalent gas Golf would have been, and it's really been working well for our family. It's our second car, and it's very rare that both of our cars have to go a far distance on the same day. And so we're just really loving it. And to me, the used EV market is there, and it's a much more affordable option for folks. So I just wanted to sort of highlight that experience. My wife and I are now fighting over who gets to drive the EV every day because it's a much better driving experience, and it's really affordable when you look at the price to charge that.
John, thanks for your thoughts. I think we're getting, you know, maybe all of the 3,000 electric vehicle owners in Vermont to call in today. Steve is calling in from Underhill. Steve, you have an experience as well.
Yes, hi. We leased our first 100% electric Nissan Leaf back in 2012, and right now we're on our third three-year Leaf lease. Now, last year, we took the plunge and got rid of our pollution-spewing fossil fuel-powered car altogether and leased a 100% Chevy electric Bolt. Now, we charge our cars with our solar electric system, so we're basically driving solar cars. And I just want to echo what others have said. Being gasoline-free is fantastic. Both of our cars are very comfortable. They drive well in the snow. They cost only about 4 cents a mile for electricity. And they have virtually no maintenance because there's no oil changes, no spark plugs, no exhaust system. And echo again what the person said about 43% of Vermont's greenhouse gas emissions being due to transportation. Driving electric can really be a big part of the solution.
Well, Steve, thanks for sharing your thoughts. I want to get two more topics in here before we have to end, Michelle and Dave. And so I'll toss them to each of you. And I know you can probably both answer them in 20 minutes. But for the time that we have left, first of all, that question that Andrea Cohen brought up about, you know, a lot of Vermonters need four-wheel drive or they need a light truck. And maybe there's an electric vehicle that can kind of suit their needs. But until we have a variety of options at a variety of price points in the four-wheel drive category, in the light truck category, in a high clearance car that can handle Vermont potholes in the spring, you know, can we see that kind of increase that you need to get to 50,000, Michelle?
Actually, I'm going to toss this one back to Dave.
Oh, good, Dave, you take it.
He loves to follow the market on these things.
Happy to talk about it. So, I mean, all-wheel drive and clearance are definitely critical for rural Vermonters, especially. We find that most folks who are driving electric in those parts of the state might be putting winter tires on, for example, and that does a lot instead of relying on all-wheel drive exclusively. But there are some options out today. The Mitsubishi Outlander plug-in hybrid, the Subaru Crosstrek hybrid are both plug-in hybrids that have more clearance and all-wheel drive and are under $40,000. So it's getting there. But Ford, GM, Tesla have been talking about electric pickup trucks for a while, probably be out in the next 2 to 3 years. There are actually over 100 more models coming.
100 more models coming in the next few years.
In the next few years. That's the word.
Are we going to get to the point where every manufacturer, every model basically has an EV option? So like you can get it, you know, as a sedan or as a wagon. You can get it as a diesel or an EV. I mean, are we going to see that?
We're certainly headed in that direction. Automakers like Volvo are talking about being 100% electric in the future, and that may be a range of different electric options from a more basic hybrid that doesn't plug into something that is all electric.
And then, Michelle, I know this is a big topic as well, but just to give people a sense who are either thinking about this or wondering or have heard things, cold weather and range. We live in Vermont. We, as we all know, have long, cold winters. So when it comes to electric vehicles and the sort of diminishing of the range in cold weather, how much of an issue is that for us?
I think it's something that we need to definitely pay attention to, and I think manufacturers recognize that. I mean, their market is in all weather range areas. And with the models that are coming out now that have a much longer range, I think the average Vermonter who is traveling to work and back every day is going to find that they have plenty of charge even in cold weather conditions.
Well, boy, a lot of interest in this topic. We'll have to bring it back to the show because I think people are wondering about things and a wide variety of questions, whether it's incentives, how to charge at home. You know, do you just get a cord and plug it in? So we'll bring this topic back on the show, and you can send us your questions by going to vpr.org. I want to thank Dave Roberts, coordinator of Drive Electric Vermont, and Michelle Boomhauer, director of policy planning and intermodal development for VTrans, for being on the show today. Thanks to you both.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Jane.